welcome to the Own It podcast, where we celebrate the growing number of women and non-binary ad agency owners and talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising one agency at a time. I'm Christy Heiler, owner of Cornette, and today we're talking to Mary Knight of Hydrogen. She's a writer and came up in the business on the creative side of the aisle. In fact, she is currently working on a satirical novel of climbing the corporate ladder. Can't wait to read that. Mary's father was a marketing director on the client side of the advertising business. He raised her and her sisters with the mindset that a woman should be able to do anything that a man can do. She carved out an amazing career working on brands like Tabasco and within agencies like FCB, Tracy Locke, and the Richards Group. She joined Hydrogen as ECD 10 years ago with a plan to one day take over as owner. She did just that in January of this year. Her perspective of becoming an owner after years in the business is a valuable one for those aspiring agency pros, but also helpful for the owners listening. Mary brings a ton of experience to the table, so let's dig in. Here's my conversation with Mary Knight. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Thanks so much for joining me on the podcast today to chat about this ad industry, to talk about ownership, and what we can do together to see more women step into this role. But before we talk about business, as always, I like to start getting to know you a little bit better. What do you love to do outside of work to feed your spirit?
Oh, funny, because I'm an author. I'm not published, but I'm on my second novel, and I was accepted into a virtual writing program out of the UK. And it's a 6-month course, and I'm about almost 5 months in. So I was getting all these emails this morning with all this homework that's due. And I'm like, okay, I need a couple weekends here to really polish up. So I'm an author learning a whole new thing. I didn't take any creative writing in school or anything. So, you know, it was more the advertising track. So definitely a whole new language and a new way to look at the world, but really enjoying it.
Yeah. What do you write?
My current work in progress is a satire of climbing the corporate ladder. I would say it's dark comedy, and it's about a woman. I grew up in Texas. It's about a woman who is the assistant manager at a Dairy Queen in East Texas, and she aspires of being the manager and then maybe even getting transferred to a different store, like in Dallas or a bigger city, because she's in a really small town. So, but lots of accidental killings and things like that. So it's a very different world from advertising world, but pretty enjoyable.
That's really cool. Yeah. You know, you came up on the creative side, right?
I did.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Writing.
Many years in big agencies, small agencies. So agencies of different sizes, but mostly creative ECD role. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Yeah.
Yes.
And was it always writing? Did that show up for you as a child? Has that been your creative expression?
Well, my mother was very proud that in third grade, I won a national writing contest. And I think I still have somewhere in my office here a framed picture that she gave me of the award. But actually, I was a fine arts major and a design major for quite some time. So I went to the visual side, and then partway through college, realized that I was more drawn to the writing side.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, before we jump into more of your career, mm-hmm. are there any women, past or present, that you've looked up to or that have really inspired you at certain points in your life?
Yes. You know, there are the famous people and the people we look up to. I've been very lucky to have some very strong female mentors in advertising. And in Texas, that's really saying something. I really enjoyed learning from a woman named Diane Fannin, who I think is retired, but she was my creative director at Tracy Locke in Dallas. And when I moved up to Seattle, I was lucky enough to end up working for a woman named Cynthia Hartwig. And she started her own agency in her 20s with a partner, a male partner, a business partner, and really was able to learn a lot from her, not only about creativity, but also about business and thinking with that other side of the brain as well.
So you've been in this industry for a while.
Yeah, too long. Yeah, no, not too long, but I'm not going to tell you how long. How about that?
Tell us where you started and then take us through your career, maybe hitting on you know, some of your favorite places and moments in this business too.
Sure. I'm going to start maybe just a little bit before my career and say I grew up with a father who had two daughters, and he was very determined that they should be able to take care of themselves. And, you know, I was raised in the South with the expectation that I should be able to do whatever a man does. And so it never entered my mind that it would be any different, which was a great way to get into advertising. I did see what he did for a living. He was on the client side. He was a marketing director.
Okay.
And, you know, was the client behind some kind of famous campaigns. Like there was one really old, but for a margarine called Chiffon Margarine. And it was all about fooling Mother Nature. And it's not nice to fool Mother Nature. And he would come home from shoots and I'd be like, wow, that's a cool job. And so I always saw that and thought that was an interesting thing. And that seeing him as a role model in that, and also this complete lack of a woman it would be any different for a woman, was a great way to go through. I went to University of Texas at Austin and was lucky enough to land a job at the Richards Group right out of school, and was there for a few years, really learned a lot. Stan was the creative person who can also think like a business person. I've been very fortunate to have those people throughout my life and career and to be able to learn from them. And then jumped around Dallas a bit and then went to work for Diane at Tracy Locke DDB in Dallas and got to work on fun accounts like Tabasco. That was definitely like a creative draw. Ended up working on some telecommunications and some really big budget stuff, and then quit my job, called my husband on, he'd been offered a transfer to Seattle from Dallas. We were living in Dallas, and I was I was in the Miami airport. I'd just gotten back from a shoot in Paris. I was on my way to Buenos Aires. I wasn't thrilled with the work I was doing, and it was pretty exhausting and not necessarily rewarding. And I'm like, take the transfer, I'll just quit. So I quit my job, moved up to Seattle, and ended up with Cynthia and working for her for a few years until she left, and spent many years as we became Borders Per Norinder, Bozell, then finally FCB. And through FCB, I also went to Chicago for 5 years. And went from a 30-person agency to a 1,300-person agency and learned a lot there, had a pretty large group, and brought my family. My kids have been born in Seattle. We live on an island called Vashon Island. Moved the whole family to Chicago. I was the only one who had ever been there. We were there for 5 years. It was great. And then it was time to come back home. And I was fortunate enough to join two former coworkers with the understanding that when they retire, that I would take over and I would bring in a partner, which I've done. And that happened January of this year.
Wow. Okay. How many years have you been there?
Hydrogen. I've been here 10 years. So I've been part of the leadership group for most of that time, and especially the last 5 years, but president since January 1st.
Well, congratulations.
And co-owner. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So stepping into ownership after being there 10 years, mm-hmm. what are some of the challenges that you have faced or are facing in that?
Well, I mean, I think I always felt a responsibility for the staff, but now, you know, every decision you make really impacts the lives of the people who trust you to keep them employed and to, you know, build a culture and an agency that works for them, but also, you know, brings our clients the best. So, you know, it's definitely a level of responsibility, but also there's a freedom to between me and my business partner. Like we make the decisions, we live with the decisions, and you know, we obviously put a lot of thought into it and want to hear from people, but it's in a way freeing to know that, you know, you have the power, especially having worked in a corporate environment for so long. Like, let's decide to do this. Okay, let's do this. It's a great feeling.
Yeah. Our stories are really similar in that I had been here at Cornette for 20 years before I took over as president over 5 years ago. And then after that decided to purchase the agency. But a big piece of that really was feeling that full weight of those decisions. You know, as you said, you were part of the leadership and contributing to the decisions, but there is a difference when you step into ownership. And yes, you have really, you have both. You have the liability of those decisions, but you also have the reward of those decisions. And I want to talk about both, right? The challenges, but then also the joys. Why did you step into this, into the position of ownership? What's the positive and the fuel for that? Where does that come from? What's this vision that you have for where you want to take this agency?
You know, I think the founders did a great job of doing a lot of things really well, including a great name, a great brand, great clients. And I think there's an opportunity to grow to the next level. I think we're a really tight, small group. We're about 15 people, and then we have a bench. But, you know, to me, I can't imagine going to 1,300 again, but I certainly can imagine going to 40 or 50 and, you know, really being able to offer multiple perspectives to clients. And, you know, I think, and also with each other to be able to share. I think the more people that you can learn from, you know, and in any position, we're always learning, you know, the richer everyone's work experiences, and then the better the product for the client.
Yeah. And I love thinking, and I love your story too, because a lot of the owners that I talk to start their agency, and there aren't that many like us who really buy an agency or buy into an agency after being there for a while. And I want to see more of that. I want to see more of the women that are in an agency know that they can take some ownership too. That's a great option. Mm-hmm. But coming, and also want to hit on you coming from the creative side. Has that been challenging for you? And if so, how?
Well, you definitely have to make sure. I think I talked about the people, including my dad, who had a strong creative side, watching the people, the creative people throughout the years who are able to tap into both sides, for lack of a better, I know that's kind of a cliche, but of the brain and think in a business way as well as a creative way. And, you know, the more you start working with clients and really getting to know their business problems, you really have to be able to wrap your head around that in order to, you know, deploy creativity that really makes sense to solve the business problem rather than just making art, which is what I do on my off hours when I'm writing books.
Well, you know, I think that this is, it's so interesting because I was talking to someone else on the podcast about coming through creative and, you know, how much time we spend really fostering this conversation and training people on specifically on the creative side to get to be prepared to step into a position of both, like leadership, like, and understanding more of the business side, because I think it's really interesting that so much of your career early on, you had exposure to that. But a lot of people on the creative side say that they don't have a lot of exposure. And in many ways, agencies are kind of built to shield them from that, to let them, you know, you just focus on the creative, you know, we'll take care of the business. But I really love this new, I would say, energy and focus on, wait, we can't, it's not, it doesn't have to be like that. I think we can pull that curtain back, and we need to, we're going to need to, in order to really push the industry forward and to see more women stepping in to the position of ownership from all sides of this business.
Right. You know, as you were talking, I think one of the challenges that I'll probably continue to face for a while, but hopefully the longer I'm doing this, the more is, and part of it also is knowledge and how much I'm learning every day right now about the inner workings of media and planning and especially around digital. And I definitely understood it from a creative perspective, but to understand it from the media perspective and then understand it from the business perspective, which is different from either one of those, because those, both of those disciplines have a fair amount of creativity. You know, every discipline has creativity in it. But to be looked at as someone who understands it and someone who can wrap their head around it and help, I think that's something I continue to work on to make sure that I'm understanding it well enough to earn the trust and credibility with, you know, my staff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I especially want to see more people on the creative side of the business step into this position, because my next question is around success and what that looks like to you. And my hope is that we get more creative with what success looks like and how agencies are built. And I think having more, especially women from the creative side in this position, we'll see more diversification of how agencies are built and how we define success. But I'm curious for you, what does success look like?
Well, to me, it's elevating, it's keeping all the things that are working, being able to recognize those, evolving, sharpening the things that we could be better at, and being astute enough to recognize that. And I want to grow. I don't want to grow until I don't know who people are when I see them, but I do want to grow again, because it's just so much richer if we have those multiple perspectives coming in. And I do think that's something that probably is true of both creative people. Well, yeah, as a creative person, you're either like, my ideas are gold, stay away, or you're like, ooh, I want to see what you're doing. I spent more of my career being a creative director than I did being an actual working creative,
right.
Sometimes mm-hmm. doing both. And I'm doing both now. But I think that, you know, creatives and people who loved being a creative director and really looking for that diamond in the pile of coal and saying like, that is genius, let's pull that out and let's try that. I think taking that same point of view to what all the different disciplines can bring and what we can bring to clients when we do that, to be able to recognize, pull it out and bring it to life is, I don't know that that's necessarily a more female thing, but I think it's something like, as a creative, you either like to create or you might also like to help others create. And if you have that tendency, which I think I do, because it's a great joy to help others, you know, elevate their ideas and hone them and make them better, then that's a great path forward, probably a great instinct to be able to apply beyond creative, which I don't think it necessarily is a lot of times.
Mary, why do you think there are so few female agency owners compared to businesses in general? In the US, 40% of businesses are owned by women, but in advertising, it's less than 1%. Why?
Well, I mean, I've been in the business long enough to see like the surge of, you know, the network saying like, oh, we need to get a woman in and the chief creative officer slot. We need to get them in there. It was hard. A lot of women leave during, you know, you make a decision to have children, and then depending on your circumstances, you may leave the market. It's so different now, and it's so much friendlier for reintroduction. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, we are still playing a little bit of catch up. And if you are leaving, you know, we lose women who start families and aren't in an environment that allows them to balance that with work, which is something like Plug for Hydra that, you know, we work really hard on, because I think there's some really great talent out there that just doesn't have the ability to, or isn't willing to make the sacrifice to completely adapt to a, you know, corporate-y environment. And we're independent. We don't have to do that. So we can adjust and flex and it, you know, bring in the best talent there. I wish I had a better answer for why there aren't more women owners of agencies. I would bet it has something to do with this exodus from the workplace. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's, if you're trying to balance the kids and the workplace, then it's, and you want to have your own business, you're probably, and you're creative, you're probably an independent contractor, you're a freelancer, because then you have less other things to juggle. But, you know, not everyone has a family. Not everyone is at that point. Like, my kids are older, you know, they're still juggling life, but we all, whether you have families or not, you're juggling life. So I wish I had, I don't have a good answer.
Yeah, but I think what you were talking about is what I feel most encouraged about. And that mm-hmm. is, there are a lot more women in the position of leadership now. And I think my hope in so much of the conversations around Own It is, if we can be intentional and say, leadership isn't the end, right? That's not the end goal. And I think a lot of times in conversations, it is. It's like, okay, let's get women into these positions of leadership. Yes, but there's actually one more step. You know, let's keep going. Let's put them in positions of ownership. And I think that we've got a bigger pool now of women in positions of leadership that can then step into that next tier of ownership. And I want to see that, because why do you think it hurts? How do you think it hurts the industry to have so few female agency owners?
All kinds of diversity are a better representation of what our country, the world, is really like. And I do think our industry is behind and has been playing catch up. You know, we're not the only one, but, you know, a voice to be heard and a variety of voices is how, you know, we are truly resonant with what's going on in the world and what people need and want and how we can communicate with them and build relationships with them.
Those characteristics in other owners, which characteristics do you admire most in owners and leaders?
It's hard to make decisions. I mean, I think we all like to look at all the options. I think making a decision, doing the research, making a decision, living with the decision, believing in the decision. If the decision isn't working, having the confidence to be able to say, we might want to make a shift. Mm-hmm. It's that I see so many people struggle to get past go. Anyone who has the strength and the belief in their problem solving abilities to make a decision and go. I think it sounds really super simple, but I see so many people struggle there. It's so important.
Yeah, I think it is important. There's two things on that point. One, and I've mentioned this in a recent podcast episode, but another person that I interviewed, Asmir Davis, she posted an article just about judgment and how we get to a place where we feel more confident and capable in making sound decisions and getting to, you know, those good, how do we get to good judgment as we take on more responsibility? And as you said, I mean, I think one of both, I mean, I think the great thing about being in the position of ownership is that you have the ultimate power, right? But with great power comes great responsibility. So we've got, as owners, we've got to continue to sharpen our ability to make good decisions. But I think that confidence is a challenge. That's one of the biggest barriers that I've heard as I've talked to many women in this business about what is holding people back from stepping into. The biggest thing is confidence. Mm-hmm. I set out on this and I thought that it might be money, you know, the ability, it could be many other, it could be time, you know, like what is that biggest barrier? But consistently what I've heard is just the belief that I can do this.
Right.
You know, so I just always kind of want to build up that confidence too, that, you know, and I hope to see us move into a position where we feel more confident in our decision. There's no reason we shouldn't have confidence in our ability to do this. There's no data to support that we're not. In fact, there is data to support that we will be more successful in many ways, and how we define success, I think is shifting. But even in the very traditional measures of success, we are successful in this position, but we continue to struggle a little bit. So my question to you is, in those moments of doubt, mm-hmm. which we all have them,
sure.
How do you overcome them?
At some point you have to draw on your experience, or this is my belief. You listen to the people you trust. You draw on your experience. You trust that little place in your stomach that is telling you what your experience knows is the best path, and you need to have the courage to do it.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us know what to do, but to be able to, you know, what if it's wrong? What if it's this? What if it's that? I wonder if for creatives, we've had so much rejection over the years, you know, because you put your soul on the wall and people rip it to shreds. If the confidence to make a decision and be able to defend that decision, that might be a skill that actually gets honed better with creative leaders mm-hmm. than maybe some of the other areas.
Mm-hmm. Mary, what mark do you want to leave on this industry?
I want to build an agency that doesn't conform to a predetermined idea of how business should work, and how we're 90% virtual. It works really well. It broadens our talent pool. We have folks with young kids who leave work to go volunteer or go to, what did we have this morning? Jazz band trials. And I want to be an agency that empowers the strongest people to bring their best by also being able to incorporate their life into it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, work-life balance is so overused, but, you know, the very best people, empowering them to be able to not have to sacrifice as an expectation. I mean, we're all going to have to work on a weekend. We're all going to have to stay, you know, we're all going to have to do those things. But for the expectation to be, let's be smart enough, let's be succinct enough. You know, hydrogen is the simplest element in the universe, and we stand for simplicity. And, you know, staying honed, staying focused lets us achieve what we need to achieve, you know. And like, I know my brain never turns off, and I'm always thinking whether I'm, you know, actually in front of my computer or not. But to build a notable Northwest agency that's not only doing recognized great work that's making clients successful and drawing in new clients, but we're also drawing in people who say, I want to be part of that culture because they want me to be myself and have myself, but also bring that to the agency to make it better.
What advice do you have for those who will follow you and I in going out on their own and stepping into this position of ownership?
Stay humble. There are things you don't know, and you do need to be a good listener. And sometimes listening isn't just hearing, it's really, I'm getting that backwards. I mean, it's more than the words coming out of somebody's mouth, whether it's a client or whether it's, you know, a staff member or your finance person. It's what is behind that that's so important to really hear. So you have to be, you know, the world's best listener. And you need to be confident and balance that with the humble. And you need to have the confidence to believe in your people. And also know when it's time to say, I have to make a decision. Here's the decision. Let's go.
Mary, anything else you want to say or share?
No, I mean, you had one of the prompt questions you had sent, thank you, was what will the world be like when there are more women owned?
Yes. Yes. What will the future? What is the future? Because it is going to happen. What is the future?
And I think we advanced, you asked it in a different way, which was awesome because we got down a different path. But also, I dream of the day where we're not even talking about it. And it's just how it is, because everyone knows that having these diverse voices makes everything better. You know, from a creative, I think we'll see more empathy, maybe more relatability rather than maybe some, you know, it's less about, I don't want to say it's not about building a fantasy world, because for many fashion brands and things like that, it is. But when it is a service brand or something like that, really being able to connect in a relatable way with their customers, potential customers, and then take that same relatability and apply it to how we interact with our clients, how we help them succeed, and how we interact with each other.
Yeah. And I think a lot too, just about our ability to hold those different perspectives. And like you said, I mean, I longer, better, right? Mm-hmm. Retained so that people don't leave. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we can do really, truly representative work of the world, which is what the business that we're in. I feel like the work will be so many things. I can't wait to see, what does that look like? How different is it? How much better can it be? How much more creative can it be?
Right. And it's going to be it's going to look like a different kind of creativity than it did in the 1980s or the 1990s even. Mm-hmm. It's
yeah, it's exciting to think about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Mary, for having this conversation with me.
Thank you for guiding it. I really am honored to be a guest, and it was great to spend some time chatting with you.
Same. Thanks for listening to this episode of Own It with Mary Knight of Hydrogen. You can find links to her LinkedIn profile and the agency's website in our show notes at untilyouownit.com. If you're enjoying Own It, please find it on your favorite podcast app and drop us a rating and a review. Those help more people discover the show and join our community. Also, if you're a female or non-binary agency owner, or you want to own an agency someday, join our growing community at that same address, untilyouownit.com. I'm Christy Heiler. We'll talk again soon on Own It.